From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, January 28, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
Several Republicans have proposed that members of the U.S. Senate get copies of the book manuscript by former National Security Advisor John Bolton before deciding to call him as a witness in the impeachment proceeding. But independent Senator Angus King of Maine says there's no question that Bolton should testify. Mal Leary reports.
King told CNN that as far as he knows, none of his Senate colleagues have read the manuscript that reportedly contradicts President Trump's account of the Ukraine controversy. He says it's clear to him from news reports that access to the manuscript should not be the deciding factor in whether Bolton testifies.
I just think that's an unnecessary step. Under the rules, he would be deposed, put under oath, deposed by counsel, and then that would be a preliminary to appearing as a witness.
King does say it seems strange to him that White House staffers and book publishers have read the manuscript and so have more of the facts than members of the Senate. Republican Senator Susan Collins has not commented on the manuscript proposal. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Maine Chief Justice Lee Softly wants state lawmakers to increase the compensation of trial judges in Maine.
Your decision will tell the public that you recognize the value to this democracy of an independent system of justice.
Softly made her request in the annual State of the Judiciary speech before the legislature and governor. She also requested funding to hire 19 additional marshals to oversee court entry screening at all courthouses. Softly also urged lawmakers to fund a text alert system to remind people of upcoming court appearances in order to reduce the number of bench warrants and arrests for failure to appear. Maine has joined a federal suit to block a ruling that would make 3D printed guns the purview of the U.S. Commerce Department. 3D printed gun plans can simply be downloaded and printed without going through traditional purchasing channels. In other Maine news, educational organizations, business groups, and farmers testified in support of bolstering the Connect Me Authority with a one-time $15 million boost in state funds for expanding broadband service. Maine Public Advocate Barry Hobbins supported the bill.
Unfortunately, less households in Maine, as you know, have internet than those in any other state in New England.
And Authority Director Peggy Schaefer says the need is greater than what this bill and another already endorsed by the committee would provide. The conservative Maine Heritage Policy Center did not testify at the hearing, but posted a statement on its website saying the state should let the private sector take care of broadband needs and use state funds for fixing roads and bridges and ending waiting lists for disability services. Billionaire Michael Bloomberg made a brief stop in Maine yesterday to promote his run for the presidency. Bloomberg is a late entrant to the Democratic primary, but he's known for his advocacy for gun safety laws and fighting climate change. And as Maine Public's Steve Missler reports, his candidacy in some ways parallels that of the president he hopes to unseat in November.
Bloomberg kicked off his whirlwind trip to Maine the same way many other political candidates and celebrities do. A quick lap around Becky's Diner in Portland to shake hands with local leaders and a photo op for the reporters crammed near the lunch counter.
Mike, it's good to see you. Yeah. Good luck. All the best. Mike.
See you, Michael.
The former New York City mayor was greeted by Portland Mayor Kate Snyder, former Democratic Governor John Baldacci, and also former 2nd District Congressman Mike Michaud. Michaud last week endorsed Bloomberg and explained why during a press event at a new campaign office in Scarborough.
We need a leader who is willing to put aside political differences, restore dignity to the office, and unite the American people. And that person is Mike Bloomberg.
Michaud is wearing a pin that says, "I like Mike," but it's not new. It's actually an old piece of campaign memorabilia from Michaud's unsuccessful bid 6 years ago to defeat Republican Governor Paul LePage, who was often described as the prototype to President Donald Trump. Michaud's message then was very similar to Bloomberg's now, that the only candidate who can defeat a norm-busting, divisive incumbent is a centrist, someone pragmatic and not too radical. Bloomberg says he doesn't see those qualities in the other Democratic challengers.
It's because I just looked at the candidates and I didn't see them being able to beat Donald Trump, nor did I see them having any practical programs that would get through Congress and that we can afford.
Bloomberg entered the race in November, long after other top challengers like former Vice President Joe Biden and Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. He's skipping the early primary and caucus states, including Iowa and New Hampshire, but he's already eclipsing his rivals in advertising spending, more than $250 million so far. Bloomberg is self-financing his campaign, much like Trump mostly did 4 years ago.
I'm not using the lobbyists. I'm not using donors. I don't care. I'm really rich. I'll show you that.
And like Trump did, Bloomberg is framing his immense wealth as independence from special interests and ads like this one airing in Maine.
Mike Bloomberg has never taken a dime from special interests. Because as New York's three-term mayor, he's always worked for the people's interests. He won't be accepting a single donation during this campaign. Not one. Because the only people Mike intends to owe anything to are the voters.
But Bloomberg's ability to self-finance a belated but furious campaign blitz comes amid a Democratic primary contest that's often highlighted income inequality. It's been a focus for Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who vowed a dramatic overhaul during a campaign rally in Portland over Labor Day weekend.
We are going to end the austerity programs imposed on working families and bring a little austerity to the 1%.
Sanders' message has won him a fiercely loyal following, often reshaping the debates during the Democratic primary and raising questions about whether Democratic voters can be won over by one of the richest people on earth. Just as Bloomberg entered the race, an old photo of Trump, Bloomberg, and other celebrities playing golf went viral and inspired an essay in the New Republic called "The Vainglorious Eternals Go Golfing." But Bloomberg is quick to separate himself from a president whose charitable endeavors have drawn charges of self-dealing. During his speech in Scarborough, he highlighted his backing of efforts to fight climate change, advocacy for gun safety laws, and help Democrats flip the House of Representatives. He says he would take a similar position in the White House, unlike its current occupant.
And the way Donald Trump spells team, there's no T-E-A or M. He's left the I in it.
In a brief interview, Bloomberg rejected the idea that his wealth might hurt him with some Democratic primary voters.
Take a look. When I was mayor of New York City, I raised taxes dramatically on the wealthy. So I have a record of doing that. I've came out against the current tax legislation that was passed about a year or two ago. I don't need a tax break.
Bloomberg's wealth isn't a deterrent for undecided Democrats like Mary Jones of Yarmouth. She sees it as a potential strength, especially if Bloomberg can catch fire in the polls.
Well, he has a ton of money, and he probably can afford to hire great consultants and run a good operation.
It's too early to say whether Bloomberg's candidacy is poised for a surge, like the one he experienced during his first mayoral race, a race many predicted he'd lose. But Bloomberg has already drawn outsized attention from President Trump, who repeatedly insults the former mayor's height.
There is nobody I'd rather run against than little Michael, that I can tell you.
Bloomberg doesn't seem to mind the president's insults. At times he seems to enjoy, even seek out, Trump's attention. During a gaggle with reporters in Scarborough, Bloomberg, a former Republican who supported Hillary Clinton, talked about his congratulatory phone call to the president-elect shortly after the 2016 election.
And we had a pleasant conversation. He asked what he should do. I said, hire people smarter than you. And he said, there aren't any.
And then Bloomberg delivered the jab.
He did give me his private cell phone number, which I didn't bother to write down, and I've never talked to him since.
Bloomberg and his campaign team departed Maine shortly thereafter. He vowed to keep his campaign offices in Maine open, even if he doesn't win the Democratic primary, and also to financially support whoever becomes the nominee. Maine Democrats will have a say in that contest come March 3rd, Super Tuesday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Time right now for a look at the Maine weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
A short-term cooling is in progress across only the northern half of Maine, a front having eased offshore. The overcast will continue to slowly dismantle overnight. By dawn, 0 north to 18 far south. Three lovely midwinter's days will be ours to relish. Tomorrow, partly cloudy over in the northern third of the state, sunny for most, mid-teens north to mid-30s south. Thursday and Friday, nearly identical. Sunshine definitely in command. Perhaps you'll notice that we are now gaining about 10 minutes of additional sunlight each week. Winds will be light. Highs on Thursday, 20 to 37 north to south. Friday, 22 to 42 north to south. A major storm will be coalescing off the mid-Atlantic shore over the weekend. Present indications suggest a trajectory far at sea, resulting in only a few nuisance flurries here in Maine. However, this is all subject to revision. This much I do know, temperatures will continue to track at or above seasonable levels into early February. The snow drought continues to build with no alleviation for at least another week. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for Maine Public.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 for a discussion about the life and work of Rufus Porter. I'm Ed Morin.